Hey guys, welcome to Find the Funny. It's me, Lisa Alvarado, and guess what? It's been one full year of having this podcast. I can't believe how time flies. Thank you so much for joining us. So what I'm going to do is just show you some highlights and fun moments from the past year, and enjoy. Well, this is my mom, Nelly.
Yay, yay.
Say, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to my daughter, what?
Podcast.
Podcast. Okay.
Podcast. I know, podcast. That's a weird name. I have a fantastic guest today. My really good friend from Alaska. I met you how many years ago?
Two.
2 years ago, but it feels like we've known each other forever. This is Ken Peltier.
Hello, everyone.
He's a singer, plays guitar, and he loses two fingers. How you just want to take every body part that helps you do your talent.
I was being tested.
You were being. Lose a couple fingers. Why not?
Well, and I hunt too, and I shoot. I shoot bow and arrow, and I don't see. This is the truth. I was born. I don't see out of this left eye, so I couldn't switch hands. I had to learn again to play with my right hand, shoot, pull the trigger, and shoot bow, and start my truck, and. So, yeah, it was a little bit of training midway.
Can I see it? Yeah. We have to show, like, can you guys, is this, go to this camera. Look at this. He can't even flip someone.
Well, I can. In traffic, if I get mad, like, I'll flip them off and they'll be, like, angry. And then they see that and they go, you're good.
It's all right. It's enough.
He's trying to be funny. They don't know it's missing.
Yeah.
Isn't he normal?
But I remember we went to dinner once and we were laughing and crying at all the different names for merch that we could come up with.
Yeah.
Like Nubbin But Love. And that's my favorite. Well, what other ones did we come up with?
I said tapered for your comfort or helmet head. I said, yeah, when I get old, I'll still be of use.
Oh, Lord, that's super sexy. Oh, my gosh.
I guess. Yeah.
And
for somebody.
My guest today is my very good friend, Grace Fraga.
That's right.
She's Argentinian. I always tell people, especially in this thing, is have the cry first.
Absolutely.
I don't think you're ever really going to heal.
No.
Because you haven't faced it.
It's almost like you're in denial first.
Yes.
But you got to be in the sadness and the anger first.
Right.
I think that should actually be like the first thing you do. Like acknowledge it. Feel it. Don't dwell in it, though.
Right.
Because
right.
If you dwell in it, then you can fall into depression.
Right.
Or be angry at the stupidest shit and snap. And it's not going to be just one time. It's going to be like a roller coaster, you know. And then you'll start finding funny things. In the beginning, I found nothing funny about it.
Right. But the beginning's like that.
No.
Maybe that's because you're actually trying to accept that it's a fact.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, absolutely.
You're in denial, partially. You're totally. Like, they could have made a mistake. Maybe this really isn't happening.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to turn around.
Yeah.
Or it's not that far down the road.
Oh, you Google in your favor.
The scary part, and I don't know if I would recommend Googling anything.
Oh, my God.
Because, well you go down the rabbit hole, right?
Depends what you Google.
Right.
Now that I became an expert, I think I'm a doctor, by the way, now.
Of course.
That's a problem, but that's okay.
You're charging me for this, right?
Absolutely. Of course. I'll send you the bill.
I expect it.
I take Venmo and Cash App.
Okay, so tell me about you. So they found multiple lumps. Was it in both breasts or?
One breast, thank God, okay. The right breast. But in the beginning, they could see with the ultrasound, they saw, it's 1.7 millimeters, centimeters, excuse me. And so I was like, okay, that's stage one. Then they did an MRI. Girl, I had one that was 7 centimeters, another one that 3.9. And then I had little DCIS, the little self-contained balls of cancer behind my nipple, like all over.
Oh,
so it was a party up in there.
Wow. And just on one side?
On one side of my right breast.
So, okay, they found a lump with me as well, but... And I'll tell you that story in a second.
they always compare it to a fruit. Did they say it's a size of a grape? Did they say it's a size of a orange? Did they give you a thing to compare it to?
No, I'm actually upset that they never gave me any fruits to compare it with. I had to Google it. No, that's not
mine
fair.
Was a large grape. Not to brag.
A large grape.
Yeah,
well, excuse
I
me.
Know.
Are you trying to get competitive with me?
My lump was
my lump?
My lump.
My lovely grapey lump. I'm a little jealous that she had a grape.
I had a grape, guys. My lump was a grape. Not to brag, but
I'm setting up my closer. So you want your closer to kill. So you can't be interrupted, or you can be, but it really sucks.
Yeah.
If you're going through the setup and someone interrupts you, it's a big deal because the punchline will not sound the same. So before I did my actual close, I said, you guys, I've been up here 35 minutes. I'm kind of going over my time, so I got to get out of here. He starts yelling, 30, 35.
What's up, sweetheart?
Yeah, 40 minutes, dude.
I'm like, what is this, bingo? Shut up.
Yeah.
And then I finally got so annoyed that I pointed to another younger guy, audience member, and I go, can you just put your dick in his mouth to shut him the hell up? The whole crowd erupts in laughter. Everybody's applauding because at this point, everybody hates this guy.
Yeah.
But here's what I didn't expect. This has never happened to me in 22 years of comedy. He actually stood up, walked across the room, and this guy was 6'6", at least. Huge. Like football player, starts unbuckling his pants. The drunk guy got so scared. Like you could see his face got beat red. And he's like, holy shit, this guy's really going to stick his dick in my mouth.
Does somebody, sir, will you put your dick in his mouth for me, please? Just.
Oh, my God!
I'm so excited about my very good friend, Brian Kiley.
I'm so happy to be here. Nice to see you. That was actually one nice thing about working at Ellen was that they would have me. In rehearsal, they would have me be in the audience. That was fun. And then when you'd come up with stuff off the cuff and whatever. And we also had guest hosts. So sometimes, like, I'm bantering with Katy Perry or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's also, it's the kind of thing of, if I were, like, there was a young guy that was like, Katy Perry. It was like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm too old to be in awe of Katy Perry. You know what I mean?
It would be creepy.
It would be
creepy.
So it's not like, oh my God, it's Katy. You know what I mean? I'm too old for, it's like, like I get excited. I would get excited when, you know, legends from my childhood were, you know what I mean? Like seeing Mary Tyler Moore or Dick Van Dyke or Bob Hewitt, whatever, those people.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I mean, it was totally different than
Oh my God.
Conan.
It was so, you know, after working in late night for 27 years, we'd be in the room and I'd pitch something and they'd go, ha, 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 we can't do that. And I was like, what? And sometimes it just seems so innocuous. I was like, what are you talking about? That's, you know,
yes. Stuff.
But then there were other times where there'd be stuff where, we did this one thing where it was all these holiday fails where like these signs got cut off or whatever. So there was a wrapping paper that it was said, it's snowing, but then when you folded it over, it looked like it said tits now.
And I like those Mad Libs.
Yes. And I was like, yeah, who wants to wait for their tits? You know? And they cracked up the room and then she did it. I'm like, she can say that? And these others.
Wait, she did that?
She did that on the show.
On daytime.
Yes.
Oh, that's because she grabs tits. That's different. If you're into tits, I think you
guess,
can.
But I just said it off the cuff in the room.
Right.
And actually, that was where I had the most success, was just riffing in the, you know, hitting around the riffing in the room.
Hilarious comedian and writer Dana Eagle will be joining us. Dana, what bits or stuff are you working out right now on stage?
Oh, well, here's one. And actually, I worked on this one a little bit during the pandemic where you know, I appreciate when straight allies come to our defense, but I hate when they use this line of like to defend us. They're like, you know, it's not a choice. No one chooses to be gay, you know? And I'm like, well, here's the thing. No, personally, I didn't choose to be gay, but like, so what if I did? Like, best choice ever, you know? And then during the pandemic, you like, and I just know that just, you know, 6 months into a pandemic, my straight friends can't agree on a thermostat setting. But, and also like, you're going to judge that. Like, why would, of all my choices, like, why judge that one? Like, I ate a gallon of mango sorbet in 24 hours. I feel like that's why I shouldn't be allowed to get married, you know?
So you know, how is that bit going? Is it get a mixed reaction?
Well, I feel like it needs a third beat. And so I do the mango sorbet goes with like, it should be like mango sorbet. That's why I shouldn't be allowed to teach in schools.
Okay.
On Sundays, I vacuum my apartment in nothing but my cowgirl hat and my panties. That's why I shouldn't be allowed to get married. And then I was trying to come up with something like a third beat for that. And I think it's something along the lines of like, maybe something like I picked this outfit, you know, myself. Okay. That wasn't a choice. Like I was just born with bad taste, you know? Like
yeah. That, like yeah. Some sort of right doing the flip. Okay.
Sorry, you probably wanted something simpler.
It's a great thing to dig in on because you could try it like five different things and see which one resonates more with the audience.
Right.
Like my hair is black, but I didn't, well, I guess I did choose that. You know, like something that could be both ways.
Right.
Actually can change, but you're choosing not to change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think something that you something have, like,
I was
you
just
can change.
Born without taste.
Yeah.
But that's not why A. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. It makes being gay easier. A lesbian. It makes being a lesbian easier.
That's funny.
Yeah.
You're typing it.
Yeah. This is how comics work. We're doing this live, which is so fun.
She wrote to me to actually take one of my bits out of my set.
That's okay. Interesting.
Yeah. We are not pastors or teachers up there. I'm not responsible for your education. What I'm responsible to do is just make you laugh, man. And if you weren't critiquing every single little fucking thing, you would be having a really good time.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you just come up to me and go, hey, that one joke you did about this, I really liked that. How about the one or two jokes that you did like? Why don't you just think about that or compliment the comedian on that? But the one thing that rubbed you the wrong way or that you didn't agree with, all of a sudden, it's an offense and you need to tell that person. I'm like, dude, you know what's really offensive? Your cologne, okay? The way you wear your fucking hair. It's gross. Like, brush your teeth. I don't know. That's offensive. Like,
right.
Give me a legit, like you had to actually wait in line to tell me that I'm fucked up for telling people that they're Latino. First of all, I didn't tell people they were Latino. I said that I am Latina and I actually am. And that is the way I identify. Okay. I am Latina.
Exactly.
There's nothing. This guy was so upset. And I'm like, dude, you need to get an enema because something is really stuck up there.
Wow.
Thank you so much. Thank you. That's very kind. You stink. You're very cute, but you stink.
Lucy is going to be my special guest today, along with Sarah Laspisa, my editor. Actually, you're my editor and producer.
Yeah.
Which makes you a predator.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they call it in the business. So
they
she
do.
Does,
in the biz, we're predators.
Right. Exactly. She does have to register in the neighborhood. And we're happy about that. So we will be talking about Lucy in today's episode. Yay! Finally, you bitches. Yay! She's clapping. Okay, I'm gonna put her on the mat right here in front of me. Do not look at her nips. All right. here we go. All right. Go ahead and have a seat, sweet girl. Lay down. Lay down. Okay, so all the pet people, all the dog lovers. Yep, she's leaving. She's like, I'm done. No, let's show them the backside. There we go. Show them the backside. What's up? This is for Carolyn. You had to see the last episode if you, then you would understand. So I've had Lucy, how long have we had her? About three years.
3 years, yeah.
Maybe three and a half.
Yeah.
We adopted her. Right, sweet girl. I know. She's like, why are you putting me in the limelight? We adopted her from a shelter very close to our house in, well, I'm not going to tell you for all the stalkers. All right. you know where I live. Just look for the really cute dog poop outside. So yeah, we adopted this little nugget and she's going to leave. Honey,
she's
come here.
She's trying to find a way down.
I know. Come here. What are editing secrets that you think the audience, the general audience, would be amazed to know that actually happens? Like stuff that you were like, what? How was she able to cover that up? Or how did she do that? Or how did she make this work?
Oh my gosh, that's a hard one. Because the best editing, you don't notice it.
Right. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of tricks and things that you can do. Like she taught me this thing I didn't know. There's this term for editors that they use that's called Frankenbite. Right?
Yes.
Explain to the audience when Frankenbite. I call it Frankenbizzle myself. But what is it exactly?
Well, a Frankenbite is usually, you know what? The Bachelorette and The Bachelor do this an awful lot. And you can hear it sometimes. You get them to say something completely different by taking all these different words.
Right. So they can literally, and reality shows are notorious for this, where they actually take your words and they'll make it sound, they'll put a sentence together that you never said.
Right.
So everything that you're saying is being recorded. And I always tell friends that are going to be on reality shows, because I was on one and I was actually on two. Wait, three. Oh right. My gosh.
You were.
That's so gross. The only advice I do not want is quit comedy.
Because you're not going to listen.
Yeah, because I'm not going to listen, because I love it. This is what I do. This is, I don't know if you know this. If you follow me on Instagram or Facebook, then you've seen my ad of me proposing to me, because I was initially marketing my comedy special as me marrying my career. Essentially, that is what I'm doing. I love stand-up comedy so much. I love what I do so much that this is where I spend the most time. People are like, oh, I can't believe you're still single. Well, spend 5 minutes with me.
Come on.
Sarah will tell you. Oh, is she not single? That will be afterwards. But seriously, it's because I'm always gone. I'm always gone. I'm always on the road. And when I'm home, I want to see my parents and my family. And then I'm doing this kind of stuff. I'm doing podcasts and promoting my comedy career. So the thing I spend the most time with is my comedy career. And I love it. I absolutely love it. Do I have room for a boyfriend? Of course. As long as he fits in my suitcase. Means he has to be very flexible, because I like tall men. So you have to be 6 foot and
very flexible
with arms and knees that are double jointed. I mean, who doesn't have that? Not straight guys, but I would love it. I will pack you and take you on the road with me. So let's do this. I am so excited about my guest today. It is Nick Hoff. He is a great comedian. So as I'm crafting out the set, I'm trying to decide also between two different jokes to close on.
Right, right.
Because and you're taping two shows. Did you tape two?
I did, yes.
Okay, that's so much better.
You gotta
say
two.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you, crazy with Chris Rock? And he screwed up a line in it.
Yeah.
Like it's a small thing, but I'm sure it bugs him. I'm sure it bugged him in the moment.
Yeah.
That he screwed it up. Like, it's something to like, and then do well on that first show. So, you know, the second one, you can be loose and kind of play a little bit more and throw some more things in there. When I had when I did it, the first one I felt good about. So the second one, I was like, oh, let me do these other things that I've been working on, or maybe this old joke that exists nowhere, but I might as well just do it. Because who knows? It might fit in there. It could be some behind the scenes, some, you know, bonus footage, whatever it is.
And what did you end up using more of? The second show or the first show?
No, the first show was still the meat and potatoes. It was still, I would say, 85% that first show. Okay. Because also the second show, the crowd's a little drunker. I got a couple woo people.
Oh.
And even though the responses were great, I could hear that one person just kind of, whoa! And you're just like, well, I can't have that be through the whole special.
Oh my gosh. Or the groaners. Like, sometimes I just did your show groaners. And they're, that's their version of laughing.
Yeah.
Oh.
They don't know how to be a person.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to strangulate you. Laugh or shut up. Those are your options.
Yeah.
Laugh, shut up. Take a drink. If you're going to groan, just put a bottle in your mouth.
This is a special episode. It's just me because we need to talk about what happened during my comedy special. The host, which was Jeannie Dugan, which crushed it. She's so professional, so funny, such a talented comedian. I've had her start. She did both of my specials out here in Chicago. That's how good she is. I love her. But she told them at the top of the set, please do not... don't yell things out. This is a comedy special. This is a taping. Everything's being recorded.
Keep your energy up. If Lisa asks you a question, feel free to answer. Have fun. But don't yell out random shit. This isn't improv, right? We're not going to ask for suggestions. But I'm excited to see you guys here. Round of applause for yourself again. Let's make some noise. This guy's already drunk. What the hell? How did that happen? You've been in here for 15 minutes and he's drunk already. Yep. All right.
And everybody's like, of course. And then this dipshit in the front row, literally that I grew up with, is like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. And he thinks in his mind that he's helping the show. So I hope that everybody tuning in that's listening or that's watching on YouTube knows, don't fucking do that. You're not helping the show. Right. Okay, we know what we're doing. Here's your job. Laugh, shut up. Laugh, shut up. That's it. Even when you go on a date with me, it's laugh, shut up. Laugh, shut up.
It's interesting that I think that God has such a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he made boobs. And balls.
And balls.
And balls. You know what I mean? They're just
and farts. Oh my gosh.
Farts. He knew that was gonna smell horrible.
Yeah.
And he still was like, I'm good with it. Like he if
I'm
you
cool.
think about who God is, it's crazy. His sense of humor is, I mean, he makes the guy first and he's like, let me break a rib off, you know? Now we're gonna make Model 2 that's even better.
Yeah.
You know, we just don't let her vote or anything. So
life is so rich and it's difficult. I think God knew that things would be difficult for us.
Right.
So we do have to have those moments where somebody lets it rip and it's hilarious. Or somebody, you know, you see somebody shriveled up balls and that's the funniest thing you've ever, you got to find
and
it.
Somewhere. I wish there was more examples in the Bible of
shriveled
humor.
Up balls.
Oh, yes, okay. That too. Well, you know that story about.
The daughters, right?
No, I was thinking all that army who had to circumcise themselves before going out. There was thousands, I think, of men that had to
foreskin.
Yeah. They had to take their foreskin off and then go to war. And then the other guys they were gonna fight were like, whoa, we don't need any of that. You guys are cutting your dick? Like, we're good.
Take
you
it.
Win. You win. Because if you're going to massacre yourself, they're like, we're good. We'll keep our skin and we'll be over here. And
we're going to show you. We're going to go home to our wives.
Yeah. Stories actually are so shocking that happen in the Bible. But if you recreate that in your head, I can't imagine this camp full of 1,000 dudes just like, give me a second. You know, and like
Billy, you
not
need
like,
a, you need a scissor.
Yeah, exactly. Past the scissor. Are they dull now? You know, just
man.
But
men today are weak.
I think we're gonna end on that.
and find me back here in 2 weeks for a whole new episode. Again, thank you so much for tuning in and doing life with me. We'll see you soon.
I hope everybody listens to my daughter and see it and laughing with her because she is very funny.